Shine, little Rover, glimmer, glimmer, shine, little Rover, glimmer, glimmer, lead us.
Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, here with my two favorite gardeners. It's Lance and Lulu. Good evening.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening out there.
All right. Getting rolling a little early here because that's the way the season feels.
Yeah, and because it happened early. It caught us a tiny bit off guard. I know.
Are you ready?
Okay, if you guys heard that, that was us.
That is goat. Yeah, right. That was us singing. It is, it's live. Yes, 970-527-4868-1866. KVNF Now, worm at kvnf.org. You can call in Lance and Lulu here to field your questions or just talk about what's going on. And had a couple of emails come in from last week's show, right after the show last week. Teresa, she's got some bugs eating her seedlings. She knows she can put out diatomaceous earth, but worries about earthworms and other beneficial bugs. And can you put that diatomaceous earth in the PVC pipe so that the hoppers will find it there, keep it dry? What are your thoughts on that? And putting it on the ground versus the PVC pipe, worms.
We had a lot of thoughts.
Yes.
So you go share, first. Please
oh, share. You want me to go first?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, first of all, the only probably two bugs that are eating right now are slugs or sow bugs. And we mentioned maybe the centipedes. Otherwise, I haven't even seen earwigs out or I have not seen any grasshopper larvae.
Yeah, and nice. I haven't seen any slugs. I'm sure they're out there somewhere, but it's a little chilly for them.
Yeah, so the diatomaceous earth will be just fine, and it does not hurt the earthworms. Diatomaceous earth, once it gets wet, it's not a problem. It doesn't.
It doesn't do anything to anybody.
No.
Right. And just, so, just what do you think her bugs are? Maybe some slugs.
Maybe, no, but I think it's sow bugs.
We think it's roly-polies more than anything. Yeah, they're coming on, and you know it was a long cold winter, and there's not a tremendous amount of green up yet.
No, the other thing that just popped in my mind is little sparrows and stuff love little greens.
And then there's that
little sparrows and finches. You know, what was that a couple of weeks ago? Uh-huh. The person called up about her flowering plum tree or something, got all the petals. Well, they'll do the same thing with seedling greens coming up.
So it could be some birds.
It could be anything. And you know what I heard? Hummingbird.
No kidding. Already.
2 days in a row, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So, you know, so that brings on the whole hummingbird issue. Make sure your feeders are clean. Make sure you boil the water. And it's, what is it? It's 4 to 1.
4 to 1. So what's the timeline on that? Is that a little bit early? Kind of feels like it.
It's about a week early.
A week early.
Yeah,
really?
They usually show up right around the 21st, but it's about a week early. But whatever.
It seems kind of crazy to me because it seems like it's just been moister and
I know.
And cooler.
Mm-hmm. And cooler and darker and I don't know, whatever. Mm-hmm.
But I guess they're coming from all kinds of places in the world.
Yeah, yeah. Down south.
Down Who south. Knows? Down where something's blooming because, you know, they need a lot of energy to get here. So,
and thanks for that reminder to get your feeders clean. And
yeah, keep them clean. That's the main thing. And don't use anything except white sugar and water. And if you boil your water first, then you're really doing them a favor. But don't put them in your feeder, the hot water, and put it out there because you'll burn their little tongues.
And they are little tongues.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway.
All right, good. Yeah, we're getting into that whole season, and that brings up that pollinator garden that we were talking about in the past and with Amber.
Oh, wait, we have to talk about the PVC pipe. Did that get covered when we said it doesn't matter?
Diatomaceous earth.
Diatomaceous earth. Well, it's...
Thank you.
What do I want to say? grasshopper spore I put into something like that. But diatomaceous earth, and you put it in a tube like that, the only thing that's really going to go in there is earwigs.
Earwigs. Earwigs will go in like crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you have an earwig problem, that would be
good.
That would
be a way to do
that's
it.
That's a good way. Yeah. But they're not out yet.
No, they're not really out. I'm digging around, and I'm not even seeing
larvae
or anything.
All right. Well, that's good to hear. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of bugs out there right now. All right, 527-4868-1866, KVNF now. Email us, worm@kvnf.org. And we do have an email from Bill down in Ridgeway. And Bill is looking forward to planting some raised beds and wondering which veggies, flowers should be started inside and when. So they're up in Ridgeway. So some of the things he wants to plant everything.
Yeah, good.
Right, carrots, beets, zucchini, cucumber, yellow beans, snap peas, sunflower, marigold, basil, and dill.
Okay.
There you go. Starting inside, that's his
question.
Well,
the carrots and beets and dill can all be planted outside, direct seeded. The rest of those being warm season stuff, it's best to start them inside.
Start them inside.
And, you know, with the things like snap peas and the beans, you always want to try and get the varieties that have those really short growing seasons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's all different kinds, and they all have different, you know, 65 days to maturity or 85
right.
or whatever. You want to get the quick ones.
You have to get the quick ones. And you might look in the catalogs. I'm not sure if there's some that tolerate a little bit more cold or
definitely
the cool soils.
Up in Ridgeway. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So that,
and they're what, about, I'm going to guess, 67 100 feet, something like that. Pretty comparable to...
They're pushing 7
certain
like
areas
that.
Around
yeah.
here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, just with beans, and I've said this in the past.
Hey, we can look.
the eye that's on the bean, place that down when you plant it.
Okay.
Because the root comes out and this has to and then it just lifts up the seed pod. If that that eye on the bean is up, that root comes out. Goes all the way back down.
Into
the, and then it has to push the whole thing
right,
up. So push. Since you're only going to do a few, it's not that big of a deal to make sure that eye is down.
I always push them in down to the second knuckle anyway.
Yeah.
So
you kind of have the knuckle.
Okay, here
knuckle
we go.
Theory.
Right. Yeah, I do the old knuckle theory. It works pretty well.
But,
well, it's like sticking your thumb in, or we talk about that a lot. When
right.
We're
stick
checking
your
for
finger
moisture.
In it for moisture and
all
that.
Generally speaking, when you're planting, it's twice the depth of the size of the seed.
Okay, twice the depth of the side of
the
seed, generally speaking.
Yeah, you know, some things you can plant deeper. You know, I plant my corn deeper, I plant the squash deeper, but cucumbers about a half an inch or so.
If you didn't know anything, you could just go with that rule in general. And you'd probably
and you'd be fine.
You'd be fine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, 527-4868-866-KVNF now. And since we talked last week, there was a little bit of a chilly weather that came through. And I don't know, the apricot trees are looking pretty good to me.
Yeah, it's on my list.
Okay, well, let's talk about it.
Okay.
Get to the list.
Lance always has these lists.
Right?
Yeah.
Check.
First of all, the apricots and the Nanking cherries are, you know, almost full bloom.
Oh, God, and they are glorious.
Yes.
I was looking at mine today and going, okay, there it is. And it's so beautiful, but where are the bees?
Yeah, not many bees. I had a few out yesterday, but I had my. Remember, I mentioned the moths that come in evening. You go out there.
Yeah, I had to put my screens on.
About 8 o'clock, and you'll see moths up working those apricot and the stone fruits is what they really like.
Right.
But this is how you check to see if there's any damage. Take off one of those little blossoms. And you peel it apart at the base, and you'll see a little baby apricot. Well, is it green? It's good.
Yeah.
If it's brown, it's dead. Even though it's still blooming, it can still be dead.
Sure.
And everything I've opened up have all been green.
Oh.
And nice. Even though we've had 24 degrees.
Wow.
So that's don't really ask exciting. Me. Maybe it wasn't 24 long enough to start killing. Okay. That would be my suspicion.
Okay. We'll take that.
Yeah. But my white
that's
apricot
exciting.
Looks, it's always the one that comes out the first, and it's pretty incredible.
Uh-huh. Good deal. Well, we're glad to see that.
Yeah.
And other things that are coming up right now. Let's see. Oh, poppies.
Yeah, the Hungarian blue bread poppies have germinated. Mm-hmm. And the kamut, that spring grain, is up.
Is that spring grain, so you're going to harvest that, not grow it for seed?
Well, growing grain is always for seed, but yeah.
That is always going to trip
well,
me up.
Yeah. Every time.
But this is grain to eat. And every time I grow a grain crop.
Grain to eat, okay.
I set aside a quart of seed.
Okay.
After it's cleaned, I'll set aside a quart and put it in my seed stash and stuff. So, yeah, that's up. And then I did plant a couple types of barley for the Rocky Mountain grain trials. Or Rocky Mountain Seed Alliance
right.
Green Trials.
That's going to be interesting.
And I had they sent me an Arabian Blue and another one called Burbank. And they sent me 100 seeds of each. So every 4 inches, I put one grain.
Oh, my goodness.
wait, for 100 grain?
Yeah, it really didn't take that
you
long.
You need help. You need your head examined.
Yeah, right. We're not talking about labor. We're talking about
6,985. So they are pushing 7,000. Yeah.
All right. So that went in the ground in the last week. Well, we're going to expect a report on that. That is a major project going
it
on
sure
there.
Is.
Well, when we had Mike Chalmers on,
yes.
how he said to plant a seed every 4 inches.
And you took him seriously.
Now, the kamut, I didn't do that, but I only had 100 seeds.
That's yeah, I only had 100.
No, right
that's
on.
Still a lot.
Right.
Okay, well, it's not compared to the over almost 2,000 cloves of garlic I planted one at a time.
Right.
<That's> Nobody,
that's what I said.
Right.
You need help.
I know, we actually sometimes do the math on the carrots, but now we start adding this stuff in. I mean, it's astronomical.
I know. Well, you know what, though? It's okay. Somebody's got to do it, and it's fabulous.
Thank you, Lance.
Yeah, thanks, Lance. And the rest of all of us mere mortals out there, we don't, you know, we're doing our best.
Yeah,
right.
By gosh. So,
pick his brain, 527-4868.
Yeah, so give us a call. I mean, there you go right
yeah.
there.
Yeah, the first bed of carrots is planted.
First bed is planted. Okay, yeah. So we're in April, mid-April, first bed planted.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I tried earlier. The days are shorter and cooler.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
And the water's cold, the soil is cold, everything's cold, and the little plants are just going, you what?
Yeah.
You want me to what?
Right.
Yeah.
I like thinking about that, the soil and the water.
Yeah. I'm making some chicken poop compost tea.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Hey, before we get to that, can we talk to Doug at Dandelion Farms here with a garden report?
Sure.
Oh, we love that.
Hello, Doug.
Doug.
Hello, Dandelion Farms. Come in. Hello, Doug.
We're wondering.
I know.
It's so funny.
No, we lost Doug. Wait a minute. Signals coming
there's
in.
There's all kinds of stuff going on. Ashley's out there needing the door opened. That's clearly what's going on.
There's a lot of hand signals that happen in radio. We appear to be very confused, although you cannot see us. All right. Anyway. Doug's going to get back on the line
right
here.
Back.
Oh, hey, here he is. Doug, are you here at Dandelion Farms? Oh, it's Mike.
Mike.
Hi, Mike.
No wonder you didn't answer.
Good evening, Mike. Okay. All right, I think we're having some technical difficulties, but Jeff's going to get that figured out. Oh, hi, Mike. We're trying you again. Are you there?
Hello, Jill.
Hi, Mike.
Jill.
Oh, great to hear
Hi,
from
Jill.
You.
Hi, Lulu. Hi, Lance.
Hi.
What's going on?
Well, I want to plant some berries, and I'm thinking about putting them in the cattle-sized stock tanks to keep the roots from running, and was curious about that concept and varieties. Gone online and, you know, red raspberries, yellow raspberries, blackberries, thornless preferably.
Mm-hmm. Well,
let's see. The Goldens don't seem to do that well here, so I would just, strike it off.
Okay, and,
no Golden.
Yeah, and are you going to put holes in the bottom of this tank?
Sure, yeah, we bought them. Well, I mean, we got them from, they were leaky. They were no good anymore.
Okay, but, okay,
Yeah.
Perfect. And I would still put a little bit of gravel on the bottom.
Okay.
Pea gravel.
Heck, I'd cut the bottom out, but.
they don't want the roots to run.
Oh,
they
okay.
Want, so
okay.
You don't want to
do
that.
So yeah, some hatchet holes and some gravel.
Yeah.
And what about the soil? I know that Jer up at Earth Friendly has some pretty good berries going and has gotten some good yield in just a short time period, but amended the soil.
Yeah.
Pretty significantly.
Yeah. Well, this will be 100% because it's going in the tank. So, you know, good soil, no weeds, and so there's like. But heritage varieties of reds that are thornless and blackberries.
Yeah, I've seen the heritage that does really good here.
Okay.
And I have one called Fall Bliss or Autumn Bliss, which is a primacane, and let it cut it down to the ground in the fall, and that one produces quite well.
Fall Bliss.
Yeah, it's Autumn Bliss. It's a primacane means
Autumn Bliss.
Yeah. And I've tried Golden, and other people have tried Golden, and they just don't seem to work here.
Oh, that's good. That's why I called. Yay! Like, skip that failure.
Yeah, yeah. Now, my Autumn Bliss, after what, having it for 15 years, I told you guys that I, all of a sudden, one cane head or two canes head.
Showed up
with yellow golden raspberries. So, and they're doing just fine because it's the Autumn Bliss. It just mutated somehow or another.
And then what about blackberries? Anything in particular?
I'm not that familiar with blackberries. You know who has a commercial crop of them is Glenn Austin Farms.
Oh, yeah. That's easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And people have asked and have gotten rooted cuttings from him.
Sure, of course. Yeah, he's got to have a ton. All right. Well, perfect.
Thank you, Mike. Right. Good luck with
Take
your
care.
Berries. Yummy.
Thanks.
Yum. I think that's a great idea.
I do, too. Mm-hmm.
I wish I had
more
room.
Berries in the world. Hey, we have Doug back on the line from Dandelion Farms here in Paonia. Hi, Doug.
Oh, cool.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Oh, good.
Yeah,
yes,
we
can
you
hear
now.
You. Thanks for calling back.
Yeah, I love the show. Nice spring day. Just was in the garden all afternoon. And you can row the peas. I planted those a couple weeks ago. Real shallow. The garlic's about 8 to 10 inches high.
Wow. Nice.
I moved around some horseradish, just chopped it up. It needed to move from where it was, and those got put out. And put in about 40 asparagus plants.
Whoa.
Oh, good for you. Now, that is horseradish. Lots of people don't know about horseradish, but that's another one that if you dig a good deep, you get the nice taproot, which is what you want for horseradish. A bit good root development. So there is a way to do it and, you know, fertilize it with nitrogen any type of compost, I should say.
Chicken poop tea.
Yeah.
Mm, right, like you were saying,
boy,
you're getting some of that going.
Yeah, because it's really hot. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to be careful. And that'll work like crazy. I have horseradish. I think it's such a gratifying plant.
Mm-hmm.
Easy to grow, comes
Are you
back every year.
Using the root of that, or
I have?
Yeah, I started growing it with an old guy named Ernie Hinkle back in Iowa, probably early 90s, 1991.
Uh-huh.
Old German dude, and he had an orchard there, and dug the root, scraped it, and made raw horseradish, and that's kind of where I learned it from when I moved out here a couple years ago. I met a couple gardeners and asked them if they had any horseradish, and they gave me a couple chunks, and I put that out 3 years ago, and then, you chopped it up and made it a 30-foot row right now.
Wow.
Oh, that's a good
You like horseradish.
Holy cow.
And the greens are actually quite good to eat, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be kind of the first buffer there on tiny village. I figure it'll be a nice plant that'll grow up against the arid desert of their edge and won't spread like bamboo, you know.
No.
No, right. Not quite as bad as bamboo.
Right.
Well, in the Midwest it is. We put it right on the edge. You know, put it next to your neighbor and they'll have it forever.
There you go. I like it. I might need some of that in my yard.
Yeah.
Good deal.
Lulu, I want to get some of that phlox and any of those perennials you're giving away. I'm like two blocks away, but my bike's broken right now.
Oh, well,
so,
cool.
I gotta drive down there when I see your rig and hit you up for some of that stuff.
Yep, I'll show you right where to put the shovel.
But hey, I'm just two blocks down the street. So if you ever want to check out my garden swirl, you're more than welcome.
Cool.
All right, sounds
all right,
good,
thanks.
Doug.
Yeah, we love that. Everybody should be checking it out. It's all good.
Right.
All right.
All right.
I won't take up any more of you guys' time.
No, thanks for the call. Appreciate
it. Keep up the good work.
Okay, right. Take care.
Great to hear from you.
Awesome. Yeah, that's great.
Wow, that's got quite a garden he's got going on right there.
I know, right?
Rather large. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, that's all right. Figure
it's
it out.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wherever you got room. And Dandelion Farms, I like that name. I think I saw my first dandelions today.
Oh, I dug some up already.
Did you?
Yeah,
uh-huh.
And they were in full bloom. They were right by a rock. They were all hot and having a great time.
Yeah, there you go.
You're out.
And the lamb's quarter is starting to come up. It's like right overnight. Things just
yeah.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No thistle and then thistle.
Boing. Oh, you know what else, too, is a problem for some people is the goat's head burrs.
Yes, let's talk about that. They're all over there.
No. The goat heads haven't germinated. It's a butter burr.
Those
I've seen
little, yellow,
little flowers.
Yes.
That is not a goat head.
That's butter burr.
I looked it up in the Weeds of the West.
Looks like it could be goat head.
It looks like it, but it's not goat head. It's goat heads don't germinate till it's warm.
Okay. Do we have to
but
worry about that?
But these make a burr.
I know they make a burr, but I'm saying it's not goat head.
Okay.
Oh.
So it's baby goat head.
Well, I'll,
baby
I'll
butter,
look
baby
it up in the
Weeds of the West.
Yeah,
I'll look it up too.
Okay.
It's a
little
favorite.
Yellow flower.
Yeah. What should we do about it?
Well,
burn them.
You know what? That's exactly it. In the early spring, when things are just germinating, just go along your driveways and stuff where you had that stuff and
put a match on it.
Yeah.
Get
your flamethrower.
Those little flamethrower things.
Oh, yeah.
Those little burning torches things.
Yep.
You know, because everything else is green enough, you're not going to set the town on fire. Unless you do something really stupid.
The only time.
But,
but
basically it's going to, yeah.
And it's in driveways. It's gravel.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's where you see it.
That's where it is. And if you get it before it goes to seed, then you're golden. When you start disturbing the soil, trying to hoe
it
up and like that, you're just inviting more seeds to germinate.
Burn it.
So I don't have any in that, but when I was having the house built, they brought in their trailer with all their equipment and stuff, and I know exactly where that trailer is and that driveway is. I had it.
That's
and I know exactly what it looks like.
Right.
And it didn't stand a chance.
Yeah.
You know,
no, that's the same thing in the alley right next door to me, Dave's house, when they put a new driveway in across the alley.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened. It came in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's usually where you see it. So burn it out.
But it's not goat head. It's lots of people.
Okay.
It's something else, and the name's in. It's in the book Weeds of the West.
Cool.
All right, butter
I'm looking
burn.
It up as soon as I get home.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Bonnie. I'm going to give the phone numbers 970-527-4868-866 KVNF now. Bonnie sent us an email. Is it too early to plant her potatoes? She has three different kinds here in Paonia. And Lance, you've started potatoes.
Oh, yeah. Ta-da. Yeah. No, you can plant potatoes.
Okay.
And I planted just early ones. My main crop is like mid to late May is when I plant it. But early crops, and northern climates and the temperate zones. Traditional, not that I'm into tradition, but tradition is Good Friday is your early potatoes,
which is actually
this Friday.
Yeah.
You know, and it's late this year. It's usually the first part of
April. It's way late. Yeah.
And I would water them once, just like I planted mine, and I just filled up the hole where I planted them with water, and I'm not going to water them again until they sprout out of the ground, because they'll easily rot in our cool soils.
But, yep.
You know, so anyways, water them once and go for it.
And leave them alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I never grow potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I
appreciate
it.
They're a space hog.
Yeah, they are.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a little garden, don't do it. And, you know, the other thing is don't put any fertilizer in with your potatoes.
Yeah.
No nitrogen, no manure, no nothing.
Yeah, not even compost.
Mm-mm. Just leave them be.
Yeah, I planted mine where the corn was last year.
Oh, wow.
So the corn took up a lot.
Took a lot, yeah.
They want good soil, but they don't want the really high nitrogen is the main thing.
Yeah.
But it's best to just – better to not put anything on them and just plant them. You could even put them on the ground and throw hay on top, pull the hay back a little bit to let them come up, and then – and you can, don't even have to till. They grow them in the mulch.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of people doing that. I've never done it, but
– the only real advantage to that is that when you go to get the potatoes, they're clean. Because they've been grown in mulch, not in dirt.
Yeah, not in dirt. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there you have it. I mean, that's exactly it. You can experiment to your heart's delight. And something that works for Lance or works for me may not work for you, but you might come up with something altogether different.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's what it's all about with gardens. Be bold and go for it.
That email text from Ridgeway wanted to know about how to grow tomatoes.
That was part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lulu was going to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, it's really high up there. What did I say it was?
6,900
feet. That's high. The hardest thing with natives at that tomato at that height and that climate is that you don't have a consistent temperature. They really like to stay within a certain hot temperature. Mm-hmm. That's why they grow so well in the Mediterranean areas where they originally were so heavy. And so I would say try walls of water. Start with some great seedlings. You know, get your starts, buy starts or grow your own starts. And when you plant them down deep. And those wall of water things tend to work pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Wall of water? What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I used to use those in Carbondale.
Mm.
It's these, they look like a teepee, but they're really just channels of plastic tubes.
Sure.
And you fill it with water, and then as the plant grows, you empty the water by just pushing the plastic over to the side. And, yeah, it's plastic in your garden and all that, which I am not into. But in a place like that, it might behoove you to, you know, try a few. I don't know how much room you have, but, you know, try 2, 3, 6, whatever.
Yeah, and you also want to look at varieties that will pollinate at the cooler temperatures.
At the cooler temperatures.
Mm-hmm. And they've been developing those.
And they are, yeah.
Right,
yes.
Absolutely.
And also look for the quick ones, too, the ones that are going to produce a fruit really early.
Mm-hmm.
Really rapidly.
I think our next
and fertilize.
Seed-to-seed class is all the solanate or the nightshade family plants and tomatoes. And one of the speakers is a plant breeder from Carbondale for tomatoes.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. He's actually right behind Sustainable Settings.
All right.
Oh. Yeah.
Up
at Sewell's place. Huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So that'll be interesting. That's way cooler than here. And I
way cooler, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's way cooler than here. Yeah. They're at 6. They're probably at 6.5 up there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Doug, who was just on the line from Dandelion Farms. He's got a tomato tip. Hi, Doug.
Well, just maybe a couple suggestions for the blueberry guy.
like Ace 55, something cool hardy. Also, the Stupas from Czechoslovakia.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that.
Elevation. It's a good container. My first ones last year were the 31st of July.
Wow.
San Marzano's. Again, go for something that has a history of elevation.
There you go.
The San Marzano paste tomato is another good option. But,
yeah, I've grown those. Those are fabulous. And you know what else? Those sun golds, those little sun golds. But if you just, if you want a little tomato, ugh, spectacular.
My friend Jan in Gunnison grows Stupas. And in Gunnison.
In Gunnison.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, huh.
Now that's a good one to look for.
Coldest spot in the world.
Yep.
Almost.
Close.
Yeah.
Coldest spot in Colorado. It gets that.
Yeah.
Gets it a lot. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Doug.
Thanks, Doug. That's awesome.
That's great. Tomatoes.
Yeah, tomatoes. Mm-hmm. Oh, those little sun golds. Yeah.
Those are good. I'm putting that on my list.
And I bet you could do those without the wall of water or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can let them just grow on the ground, but then you have problems with slugs and things as well. But you get all the radiant heat from the ground.
And you can always put Rimei cloth.
That'd be
a great row cover stuff.
Row cover.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, and just cover the ground with them, with the row cover, and let them try a few different things and see what happens and tell us. Get back to us, because we'll share the knowledge.
Yeah.
It's fabulous.
Some good stuff going on here. People getting ready. And
I just wanted to, he mentioned the determinant.
Determinant,
And just if you didn't know what that term means, it gets to one size and stops growing.
Okay.
And that's why he suggested that, because it's such a short season. If you buy an indeterminate, it just keeps on growing.
Keep on going,
And you're not going to get all that fruit to mature. But a determinant will most likely have a better chance of maturing all the fruit that's on it.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And the ones that were mentioned, that San Marzano, that is definitely not a determinant.
No, it just keeps on going.
It just keeps going.
Yeah.
And the little ones, too. The sun golds do that, too. They'll just keep going and going.
That's when you have to stop watering them.
Right. Stop watering. And
or pull them up by the roots and stick them upside down in your basement. That works.
Ooh, that works really well.
All
right. Some great stuff. And thank you, everyone who called. And thank you for your emails. We appreciate you listening. Thank you, Lance and Lulu.
Yeah. Nice comments.
Yeah,
we love that. It's so important. So, you guys, it's going to get more and more important here every year.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we thank you all for being there. And we'll be back next Tuesday at 6:30 as the worm turns. And it's One Woman's Perspective coming up next. Thanks for listening to KVNF.
All right. Have a good evening.
Good night, everybody.
Which you can make go slow and faster. I don't know who you took a shine to, or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so. Low, little low and low.